Good morning. Can you hear me? Is my mic on? It's working good. Great. Well, nice to be with you again today. I'm going to speak on the theme, dysfunction and destiny, from a scripture found in the book of Genesis, chapter 37, verse 28. And that scripture simply says, "So when the Midianite merchants came by, his brothers pulled Joseph up out of the cistern and sold him for 20 shekels of silver to the Ishmaelites, who took him to Egypt." Dysfunction, brothers selling, destiny, Egypt. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the power of your word. Now we ask that by your Spirit you would open up these concepts, these truths, so that we can walk with you with a greater confidence. Help me as I speak. Help all of us as we hear. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to talk today to people whose home that they grew up in, or maybe are in now, was less than perfect. In my line of work, I hear many stories of family dysfunction. One story I remember most was a lady who was about 50 years old, and she told me of how her mom treated her in her home. She had her skin was a little bit darker than the other children, and I don't know if that was the flashpoint, but her mom picked on her. Beat her, relentlessly attacked her with verbal abuse, even one time tried to run her down with a vehicle. And this lady, now in her 50s, as she was recounting the story, looking back at her life, she cried out, "I just want to know why. I just want to know why." Her heart's breaking. She wanted to know why her mother would do that, why her mother would treat her that way. She wanted some answers. A lady named Shannon Elder wrote, "Every broken heart has screamed at one time or another, I want to know why." I have found that those who have suffered in dysfunctional homes not only want to know why their family members did what they did, but they want to know, what was God up to? What did God do with this? And understanding this can help bring some peace and purpose as we settle that question, the question of dysfunction in the home we grew up in. Dysfunction and destiny. To help us understand this, we're going to look at the life of Joseph, and that's who was referred to as being sold in this scripture that I read to you. His story is in chapters 37 to 50, and I encourage you to read it maybe this afternoon or this evening or this week, so you can get a greater perspective on how that story all unfolded. But basically, he was the son of Jacob, one of the patriarchs of Israel. He was one of many sons, one of 12 sons that Jacob had. And of course, Joseph was greatly used by God, as we will see as the story unfolds. But his life started in a home of great dysfunction. First of all, I want to say to you, dysfunction is often a reality in our homes. In chapter 37, verse 18, it says, "Here comes the dreamer, let's kill him." That's a pretty dysfunctional home. When your siblings want to take you out, that's pretty dysfunctional. What would you think of a home like that? And it's interesting that it is through this family that Jesus also ultimately comes into the world. And wouldn't you think that if there's going to be a family that sets the tone for the Lord and Savior to come in the world, don't you think it would be a great family? A family of high character and great function and everything working out well. But this family had some issues, and I'll just mention a few of them. First of all, it was a polygamous home. Jacob had two wives, and then his wives gave him their servants to have children with. So basically, in this home, there are sons from four different ladies. And they're all living together in one complex. And you see the ladies cutting deals, or the wife that was not loved as much, cutting a deal with the wife that was loved so that she could spend time with Jacob in the night. So you have all this kind of stuff happening in this home. Broken hearts, bargaining, sibling rivalry, led by a man of questionable character, Jacob. His name really means deceiver, and he spent his life deceiving and being deceived until God changed his name. He left vows to God unfulfilled. He played favorites. He was a bad parent. I think a lot of it, the conflict that ensued, was because, and I'll talk about it in a bit, but he favored one son over the others. It was a home of immaturity. Joseph himself was a tattletale on his brothers. Also kind of rubbed it in, I think, maybe a little bit with his calling in life. Don't know about that one. But it was a home with a history of violence. Someone said, the sad insight into the state of the household in which so much of the world's history and hopes were wrapped up. Let me ask you, was there dysfunction in the home you grew up in? Absent father, angry mother, sibling rivalry, parents playing favorites, abuse of some kind. Dysfunction is often the reality in our homes. Dysfunction often leads to harsh actions and painful experiences. His brothers sold him. Of course, at the root of it was favoritism, and it became the dominating feature of the home. When I was younger, a few years back, I was an adult already, but my brothers, I have four older brothers, there's five boys in our family, and my brother said, you got off easy, I'm the youngest. And I don't know if it was my parents learned to relax over the years, or if they just kind of threw up their hands and said, what will be, I don't know what it was. But I think I did have benefits that they didn't. I don't think it was an intentional favoritism, but I'm just saying dynamics happen in the homes. Favoritism is really bad. Sometimes I've, one situation I was working with last year, there were two girls in the home, and the one clearly knew the other was the favorite. So they've had to work through that. Robert Whipple said, playing favorites is one of the most damaging problems in any group of people. And I think that's why in this New Testament, in the book of James, he writes, my brothers, as believers in our glorious Lord Jesus, don't show favoritism. Don't do it. It's destructive. But it does happen. You know, in this home, it says now, Jacob or Israel loved Joseph more than any of his other sons because he had been born to him in his old age, and he made him a richly ornamented robe. Favoritism. So there was bitterness and jealousy. When his brothers saw that the father loved him more than any other, they hated him and could not speak a kind word. Later it says his brothers were jealous of him, hated him enough to kill. You know the story, or many of you know the story, how Joseph was sent out to check up on his brothers out in the fields. And it says, so Joseph went after his brothers and found him near Dothan, but when they saw him in the distance, before he reached them, they plotted to kill him. Here comes the dreamer. So they threw him into the cistern, and had a plan to cover it all up. Home dysfunction leads to powerful emotions and hurtful acts. They ended up selling him to the Ishmaelites. They didn't kill him, but they ended up selling him. And what happens in dysfunctional homes is that one or another sells the other out. It's not like, oh, we put him up for bidding to slavery, but sometimes there is a selling out for whatever reason. You know what? I can't remember when it was, a while back, within the last year or so, I did my best to research how much they actually sold him for. It's 20 shekels silver. And I think it came to $124 in today's currency. So can you imagine being in a situation where your brothers or sisters put you up for sale for slavery? And really, it was likely a death sentence, really. You would read later that Joseph was begging, "Don't sell me, don't sell me." And they were bidding, probably haggling over the price. Came up with the price, $124. Hurtful things happen in dysfunctional homes. One of the things that happens is domination. In verse 23, it says, "So when Joseph came to his brothers, they stripped him of his robe, the richly ornamented robe he was wearing. They took him and threw him into the cistern." Notice those action words. They stripped him, they took him, they threw him. Three acts of domination. His hand, he was powerless. He couldn't do anything about him. It was 10 against 1. He was a pawn in his brother's hands. He was powerless. He was overpowered. And he was dominated. When people tell me their stories of dysfunction, almost always there's this element of domination. A sense of being dominated by someone in the family and a sense of being helpless to do anything about it. Many struggle with guilt because of not fighting back or stopping it. When they think about it, oh, I should have done something. And this is particular when there's young children being raised in a home like this. They feel like something's wrong, I should be able to stop it, but they're powerless. And then they're just lying. Brothers came up with a story. They dipped the robe in some blood and showed it to the father, so the father came to his own conclusion. But it was from that day on, their relationship was based on a lie. As a general rule, in dysfunctional homes, the people who perpetrate often try to cover it up and explain it away somehow. And then there was sorrow. There was sorrow. Jacob tore his clothes, put on sackcloth, and mourned for his son many days. His sons and daughters tried to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. "No," he said, "in mourning I will go down to the grave to my son," and he wept. There was nothing they could do to comfort him for the loss of his son. Favoritism was the dominant feature in Joseph's dysfunctional home. I don't know what the dominant feature in yours may have been. These are some of the realities that happen in dysfunctional home. That's the bad news, but here is the good news. Joseph's brothers sold him dysfunction, but he was taken to Egypt. Destiny. So the Midianite merchants took him to Egypt. It is here where dysfunction turns to destiny. Egypt was the place where Joseph would rule. At 17 years of age, Joseph was sold as a slave. At 30, he was the prime minister of Egypt. Egypt was not the place where Joseph would have chosen to go, but it became the place where his life would have the greatest impact. Egypt was the place where his inner life was grown to fit him to rule. You know the story of him being seduced by Potiphar's wife. Well, he resisted that, but his character was being tested. If you're going to have a big role for God, your character is going to be tested along the way, and that happened in Egypt. Egypt became the place where his management skills grew to fit the role. So, you know, he was sold into Potiphar's house and he starts managing his house. He manages it with excellence. His management skills. If you're going to lead an empire, you got to have some management skills going on. There it is. That happened in Egypt. And then, of course, he is falsely accused of sexual assault. He ends up in prison. And again, there's another management opportunity. He ends up running the prison. Egypt also was the place where his gifts would show. His gift of dream interpretation was used to its maximum effect. You know, so he had interpreted a couple of dreams, and when Pharaoh has his dream, that one guy, the cupbearer, remembers, oh yeah, there's a guy who can interpret dreams. So all of a sudden Joseph's brought in. But it was his ability given by God that lifted him up. But, you know, when he had told his dreams at home and showed the power to interpret them, he was pushed aside. He was rejected. I don't know if his gift and ability to interpret dreams would have been raised up to its pinnacle had he not been in Egypt. Egypt was the place from which Joseph would save his family. When the famine starts and his family comes, his brothers come to get food, and he finally reveals himself to them. He says, I am your brother Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to save your lives. Egypt, the place of destiny, is where he actually saved his family. Egypt was the place from which Joseph would save the world. Not only was there famine in Egypt, but it was all over the whole country. And then it says all the countries came to Egypt to buy grain from Joseph because the famine was severe in the world. It all started with dysfunction. Went to destiny. Egypt was the place where the nation of Israel would be formed. When the family eventually moved there, there were 70 of them total. A few centuries later, this 70 had become what is estimated maybe 2 million people, and the nation of Israel was formed. Dysfunction, destiny. God was placing Israel in the womb of Egypt to be developed into a full nation, a nation which would bring Christ to the world. Dysfunction, destiny. Joseph's life foreshadowed the coming of Christ to the world. He was a victim of crimes and ended up being a savior. Jesus was sold out for some silver and ended up being savior of the world. By the way, have you trusted him to be your savior? Have you asked him to forgive your sin and save you? The stone that the builders rejected became the cornerstone. We see that in the life of Joseph, but we also see it in the life of Jesus. All this started in a dysfunctional home. Now, are all the people who committed crimes against Joseph, will they be held accountable? Yes, they were in that life. I'm doing a study currently on his brothers, how the grace of God came to his brothers. But they lived with a tormented conscience all their life. But the point I want to make is God refuses to let what other people do to you affect his designs for you. Maybe dysfunction, but he can bring you to destiny. Now, Joseph cooperated all along, didn't get mad. He did his best wherever he ended up, whether he was a slave or in a prison. He did his best to honor God, and God used that. The point I want to make this is dysfunction sends us where our destiny can unfold. Over this last year, I've seen this unfold in some of the people I'm working with. I'm going to give you a few examples. I spent time with a man who was struggling with depression and deciding what life changes to make, career changes. And in the process, we discussed his family, what it was like in his family when he was growing up. In particular, his father who is a good man. And he says, my father is a good man. He loves his dad. And I don't think there's relational issues there. But he's, in the unpacking his story, there's some incidents, good and bad. There's where his father was a good man, but his father didn't show up. And so when he was bullied, his dad never really did much about it. I don't know if he thinks his dad could have done much about it, but maybe could have done something. When he was doing well in sports, his dad never showed up to watch. When he had another traumatic, his dad never did anything about it. His dad was a good man, but he didn't show up. And so this resulted in a certain sense of anxiety when there was conflict, when there's things that didn't need that needed to be fixed. Something happened in his heart that he would be the opposite of what his dad was. He would show up. And so much of his life, he has spent going into conflict situations and helping them get settled. Isn't that interesting? He's helped people in many situations get through their dysfunction. Dysfunction, destiny. Thinking of another person, she grew up in a home where there was a lot of conflict between brother and parents, and she became kind of the oil that would keep the gears from really getting messed up. She became a fixer. And so she went off to college, went off to Bible school, and realized that there's a problem. There is people in the world who haven't heard about Jesus. So she went out as a missionary to a place where there was very little preaching of the gospel. She was going to fix that problem. And then after being out there for a while, she noticed that there aren't many people out here preaching the gospel. We have a problem. People have to go out in the harvest. So she came back and went into mission recruitment. Got a lot of people into the mission field. And on the story goes, dysfunction was turned into destiny. The Bible lets us see some of the dark side of human life and even in the family, so that we can perceive that God is not stopped by this, but that he can take these things and turn them into what he has for us to do. So let me bring it home to you. How would you recognize some of the things about your destiny that may have come out of the dysfunction of your home? Here's some things I suggest. First of all, pray, God, open my eyes to see. Open my eyes to see. And then answer some of these questions. Where has the dysfunction of your home sent you? Joseph's dysfunction sent him to Egypt. You may have moved away from home to another place. You may have had to move to another place emotionally or spiritually. You may have had to learn new skills, gone deeper in your walk with God, developed your character in some way. Where has it sent you? And who has it sent you to? Who has this brought you into connection with? Who is coming to you for help because of what you've been through? What resources have you accumulated? Joseph accumulated resources to feed people. This all started with dysfunction. And he ended up with all these resources to bless many. What resources have come into your life that you can bless other people with? What resources have you accumulated? One of the top motivational speakers at this time is a guy named Les Brown, and he said, I built my career on rejection. In other words, the rejections he went through is now encouraging many people. And what may God be forming in you for future generations? Joseph had no clue about this. He was just thinking about his own family, saving his own family. He had no clue all that God was going to do through this, down through the generations. God may be doing something like that in your life. Not long ago, I talked on this theme at a businessmen's lunch. And after there was kind of a sharing time, and one of the men piped up and said, you know, he basically talked how the dysfunction of his home drove him to know Christ, and now numerous people in the whole family are starting to meet Christ as Lord and Savior. The dysfunction, destiny. And what may God be doing to bring Christ to the world through you? I close with this story. A friend of mine is a pastor, and he said, I'm going to read his story word for word, but I think it brings it home. I've worked in a domestic violence program for the last 27 years. I'm a social worker and pastor. And as a contract therapist, I facilitate a 16-week evening program for men who've been abusive against their partner. The treatment is designed to change the thinking and behavior of men to eliminate violence and abuse. What is interesting is that my own father, a policeman, was physically abusive towards my mom in the household I was growing up in. Both my parents were very strong in the Christian faith, and it caused a bit of anxiety, fear, and confusion. I remember growing up and being very angry with my father. There was lots of contempt against him because of his hypocrisy. Much later, I realized that it impacted my trust in God, and how could our Heavenly Father allow these two to be together? In time, I would confront my own hypocrisy. It was different, and yet it was still sin. I remember how much I needed and wanted God's forgiveness and His grace to live a better and better life. I wanted to be forgiven. I knew I needed to forgive my dad. Many years later, my brother asked me to come to a counseling session. He had very vivid memories as a child of violent episodes. The counselor asked if I remembered, and I said yes. I remembered the pattern of abuse. I remember standing in the hallway upstairs outside my parents' bedroom, hearing my father beat my mother and her pleading for him to stop. I remembered the shame I felt because I was too scared to go in and confront my father and stop the abuse. I was just 10 years of age. And here we were, 30 years later, still dealing with the psychological and spiritual issues related to it. Fortunately, the Lord was not going to leave us there. He had a rescue plan. When I first applied to be part of developing and implementing the domestic violence program, I was not thinking of my past. I was thinking about seeking an extra job to help my family make ends meet. I had no idea that it would become a lifelong passion to help men in trouble. The Lord has brought about healing in my heart and has enabled me to help men in trouble. I think about what Joseph said to his brothers when he revealed his true identity. As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. And then he says, I'm so thankful that our Lord redeems our experiences and memories and equips us to be agents of grace and change. We often wonder, where was God when my family was causing me pain? God did not tell your family to do that, but what he has done is taken that and he started to build a destiny for you. Dysfunction sends us to where our destiny unfolds. So I encourage you to recognize the broader purposes of God in your life. Think about this as an enablement to release the regrets and hurts, and then embrace the destiny that he has for you. Let's pray. Pray with me if you want to. I just have a prayer of response. Jesus, thank you that you work out my destiny through painful things. Even the evil that others do, as the things I've experienced in my family, you work through those. Help me release the grip of past hurts and embrace the role and impact you have planned for me to have in the lives of others. Amen.